Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Southern Fried Soccer Podcast. It is April 12th, a Masters Friday, and we've got a lot of news this week. We've had groundbreaking for the United States Soccer Federation's new training facility and headquarters, which are going to be called the Arthur M. Blank National Training Center, and you're going to hear from him in the podcast. We have Atlanta United announcing it is soon going to break ground on expanding its headquarters in Marietta for $23 million. You're going to hear Garth Lagerwey talking about that. And we're going to start off with our preview of Atlanta United hosting Philadelphia on Sunday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's a 2:30 televised time. I think the kick is going to be around 2:40. It's going to be for free on Apple or on Fox. Hope to see you at the stadium. It's going to be a good match. Philadelphia is second in the East right now. 3-0-3 record, 12 goals scored, 7 against. Atlanta United is in 6th in the East, 3-2-1 record, 10 goals for, 5 goals against. Atlanta United is going to be missing several players. We're going to get into that when we come back and start going through the audio clips. I want to remind you, please, to follow me on Twitter at DougRobertsonAJC or on Facebook at Atlanta United News Now. And if this is your first time listening to us, please make sure to follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so that you never miss an episode. This is Southern Fried Soccer from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And we're back. So on Monday, down in Fayette County, they broke ground on what is going to be a $200 million first ever National Training Center for the United States Soccer Federation. It is a beautiful piece of ground. Would have made a great golf course if not being earmarked for this. We spoke with Arthur Blank. We spoke with Brian Kemp, our governor. We spoke with Cindy Parlow Cone, the president of the United States Soccer Federation, in whose dream this was, and JT Batson, Augusta native, who is the CEO of the United States Soccer Federation and who is tasked with executing Parlow Cone's dream. We're going to start with Arthur. They announced on Monday that the facility is going to be named after him. So my first question to him was, what is your reaction to that honorific?
It's probably a bigger word than that, but it'd be a really big word. I mean, I think it's an incredible opportunity, I think, to really recognize it's not really about me. It's really not really about even our associates. It's about, you know, what soccer does and, you know, many of our viewers and fans, okay, and they all follow soccer so closely to see how much it brings to Atlanta together, our state together. And this facility here is going to be world class. 27 national teams, extended teams, best in the United States playing here, training here, coaching here. So we're excited to be part of it, and to have our name connected to it is a beautiful thing.
And then I also was curious, Blank donated $50 million toward the construction of the facility. If you're wondering why is his name on this, this was announced back in September, I believe. We have the renderings. I put the renderings up with the story I wrote on Monday, but I wanted to know from Arthur, how much will he and the other executives of Arthur M. Blank Sports and Entertainment, many of whom were there on Monday, how much will they be involved in the construction and the designs of the facility?
We'll be involved in all. We've seen the plans. We approve the renderings and what have you, and we'll stay involved to be connected and making sure everything that we had committed to seeing done is being done, and take advantage of any further opportunities that come our way. You know, usually these kind of projects, once they start to dance with us, they usually don't end up. The dance continues on and on. So I expect to be continually involved as we should be.
There's been a lot of talk about Major League Soccer expanding its salary cap, or changing roster acquisition mechanisms. There might be a change coming this summer. But in just speaking to Mr. Blank in generalities, I wanted to know if he wants to see the league be more aspirational in terms of spending more money to acquire players to fulfill its goal of being one of the top leagues in the world.
Well, I think, you know, I think the league is going to have to continue. That's been the trend of the league over time, as you know, Doug. But I think it's going to have to be that way even more so in the future. You are competing with the best talent all over the world. And when we first started to look at Major League Soccer, the league itself was ranked number 22 in the world. I mean, it was not, you know, this was a long time ago. And the franchise fees were $35 million. We ended up paying $75 million. But by then, we was ranked number 7th or 8th, and I think today it's ranked about 5th. So, you know, you have to have the best players. You got to compete with them. And it's a world market. The NFL is a little different because your world market is America. But soccer, the world market is globe. So you got to be ready to compete. And I think Major League Soccer tends to move in that direction.
Brian Kemp was there. I was curious to know if he had ever thought this state would have a global headquarters like U.S. Soccer.
Yeah, no, it's pretty amazing that you think about just how excited people are just for the SEC championship game in football here. Obviously, we've had Final Fours in basketball, national championship games, Super Bowls. But to think about this global sport, really, I mean, it is a worldwide sport. We're going to see that, especially during the World Cup, and have really U.S. Soccer headquartered here in Georgia. It's a big statement for our state, for the city of Atlanta and the local Fayetteville community.
And then ask Mr. Kemp, if the facility and its potential impact could eventually perhaps lure more other sports headquarters to move to Atlanta.
Well, I think the one thing that was so unique about this, I mean, we're used to having great companies headquartered here. When you think about, you know, Home Depot, UPS, Delta, Chick-fil-A, a lot of other things, but sports is a lot different. This headquarters for U.S. Soccer is going to bring in a lot of people that normally wouldn't travel to Atlanta when you think about referees being trained, players coming to train, just the youth that will be involved in the sport. So it's going to create a lot of room nights, a lot of restaurant, you know, people are eating in our restaurants, a lot of business for the airport. And so it's it continues to really keep our headquarters, if you will, very diverse in the state, which is great for our economy.
And of course, Atlanta is going to host 8 matches in the 2026 World Cup. It's one of the host sites for the joint bid from Mexico, Canada, and the United States. I wanted to know his opinion on what needs to be done or get done between now and the summer of 2026 to make sure that those who are coming to Atlanta have the best possible visit.
Well, listen, we have a lot of work to do to get ready for the World Cup. I mean, we're already working on the security issues and other things that the state's always involved in, working with the mayor, city of Atlanta, obviously the Mercedes-Benz team, and we'll continue to get ready. But I think it's a great opportunity not only for our state, but especially for the city from an entertainment perspective with having that many matches here. What else can we provide in the venue and in the area? To make people talk about Atlanta and talk about the state of Georgia when we leave. And a lot of that's going on right now. You're seeing a lot of great projects like the hotel down there by the World Congress Center, what's happening with the Gulch and many other things. So I think it's going to be transformational.
I referenced earlier that this dream of this national training center, the first of its kind for U.S. soccer, was Parlo Cohn's dream. And I was curious, now that they were able to break ground on Monday, they had couple of earth movers there, and just the emotions she was feeling.
I mean, quite literally a dream come true, right? 2 years, this has been a dream, and, you know, and to finally be on the land that we're going to build the next home of U.S. soccer. It's going to be home to all of our staff, to our 27 national teams, many youth players, and adult amateur players. And so just to have a place that we can call home to convene soccer in this country, I mean, there's no words to describe it. It is, other than it's literally a dream come true.
And the JT answered for me when they decided to name the facility after Arthur Blank.
We formally decided very recently.
Okay.
But, you know, Arthur's team has been unbelievably supportive from day one on this project. Obviously, Arthur's philanthropy is transformational. His team has been even more so. And everything from how we ended up in this very specific location to how we got the Atlanta business community and philanthropic community to come together to do something special, they've been just great, great, great partners.
Parlo Cohn went through some of what is going to be inside the facility.
Well, obviously soccer fields, right? And as well as futsal and power, teams will be here. So we'll have a gym that will host futsal and the power team. And then we'll have an indoor field as well in case there's any inclement weather and then for other times when we need to control the climate of what we're doing. And then weight room facility, we'll have a number of locker rooms and then obviously all of our offices. There'll be a way for them to eat here, the dining facilities as well. And so everything that you can think of that a pro team facility would have, right. Just think of supporting 27 national teams.
And then on Thursday, Atlanta United announced, well, I reported and then Atlanta United announced that they are expanding their training facility in Marietta, cost of $23 million, going to be many, many things inside this additional 20,000 square feet. Here's Garth Loggery talking about why they decided to expand the facility.
Yeah. So correct me if any of this sounds off, Doug, because obviously I wasn't here when they built the original, but my understanding was that the assumptions were that there was going to be a soccer team, right? And there was going to be some player development space, but it wasn't clear how many teams or what league they were going to play in, et cetera, et cetera. And we now have a much more formal structure. We have the Twos League, MLS Next Pro, that is growing and evolving, not just with MLS teams, but now with independent teams. And we have a set structure for the academy. So, that stuff simply required more space. But the other thing is it's, you know, the facility now from the day it was designed is 10 years old. And MLS has leaped forward. And so, in that time. And so we needed to upgrade some of the first team spaces, to help us continue to win games. And as you know, one of the hot topics out there is fixture congestion. You know, and as our team hopefully continues to improve, then we will get more games, right? Hopefully more League Cup games, more Champions Cup games, more playoff games. So what do we need? We need our players to recover better and to be available more often. And so in this space, we are adding an altitude room, which helps with all those things. It's something that I first saw in action when I was in Salt Lake City because it's very common in Olympic winter sports. All those folks train at Park City at altitude. And you can simulate those effects in a specific room. So we're building one of those. Hmm. The other thing that is kind of brand new, not brand new, but it's becoming increasingly common in player development is cognition and cognition training. So the NFL actually does a lot of this stuff. You know, you talk about, you know, quarterbacks reading defenses and wide receivers looking at coverages and quarterbacks defending and safety, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All, you know, visual perception, cognitive training. And we said, hey, this is clearly happening on a soccer field as well. You know, you have to be constantly aware of your surroundings, relative to the ball, what pace is coming at, you know, what are my options, so to speak. More and more and more teams press. You have less and less time on the ball. We got to increase our cognitive training. And so we have a space for that as well. And so we it was very important to us to address those two spaces. And then we kind of third, well, the two other big components of it are, A, we wanted to be as ambitious as the Apple deal. And we really, to meet our fans where they are, you know, they are a young, diverse, demographic that's very tech savvy. And so, you know, we were able now to do, you know, to have a studio, have editing bays, have podcasting rooms, because that's a form of media that our fans want to consume. So we're going to do all that and be as ambitious as that Apple deal. That's part of why right now. And the third part is we are growing not just an Atlanta United business now, but a soccer business. And you're seeing that in the big, high-profile international events that are coming to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We started last year, stuck our toe in, so to speak, with the English Premier League final, friendly, where Miggy and Newcastle came back to play Chelsea. And it really piqued my interest because, you know, Miggy, it's a meaningless game, right? It's an exhibition. But we sold 50,000 plus tickets for it, and Miggy scored, and the whole building gave him a standing ovation. So I thought maybe, hey, well, maybe we're on to something here. We have the World Cup coming in 26. You have Copa America. This summer, both the Copa America games we have are selling really well. We have the opportunity potentially to host Club World Cup in 2025. And then obviously we have U.S. Soccer's relocation, right? She believes Cup coming up, tomorrow, actually. And we think that game is going to sell more tickets than any standalone game in women's soccer history, in North America. Meaning, you know, the World Cup might outdraw it, the Olympics might outdraw it, but other than that, for standalone games, we think it's, right now it's on pace to sell the most tickets ever. So we think the audience is really there for more soccer and more really good soccer. And so we have to support that. So last summer we hosted Cruz Azul at our facility, in connection with Leagues Cup. We just had the U.S. women's team for the whole week because we believe, we have one of the nicest facilities in the world. And by showcasing that, A, it supports the business in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, but B, we think that these elite players, these elite coaches are going to come through here and say, hey, I want to come work for Atlanta United. So there's a big strategic play here for us as well, that from the long-term growth of the league, as MLS ascends, we believe we now have the infrastructure to recruit and to ascend with it.
One of the rooms that's going to be within the expansion is a kind of a improved cognition room. If you've watched the Formula One series on Netflix or the tennis series, you see the athletes doing different kind of eye, finger, coordination type drills to improve their reflexes and reaction times. This is going to be similar to that. Soccer is becoming a game where everyone likes to press. You're having to work yourself out of tight situations. You're having to solve problems, lickety split. This is going to help with that. And here's Lagerwey talking about some of the other facilities they toured that helped give them some of the ideas for the cognition room and the altitude room and other things.
I don't know if we have a precise like for like. I mean, the facilities we went to, you know, as you know, Doug, I was in Seattle for last 8 years. Seattle just opened their facility. You know, some teams are looking at this as a mental recovery space, like in support of concussion treatment. And so Seattle has something that's like this, but it's not the same thing. You know, we visited them, and we visited Salt Lake, and we visited Cincinnati, and we visited Austin, and we visited LAFC. Austin has something that's, you know, in the same vein with this. They were the first ones that had an altitude room that we studied and were able to copy. So what I mean to say is, I don't know that there's anything directly like for like, but we went to these five other facilities, and really tried to say, take a little bit from them and a little bit from that. And obviously having spent literally the previous year before I came to Atlanta working, you know, in depth on the new Sounders facility, I felt like we were up to speed and this was something that was just really important, from one of the things we did, and this isn't, you know, newsworthy necessarily, but, you know, we've expanded our mental health coaching capacity. Before it was just first team, and we now have, resources that are dedicated to everybody in the organization. So Academy and Twos now have access to, mental health coaching in addition to, the first team. So again, it's a space that is growing worldwide.
Now turning to Sunday's match between Atlanta United and Philadelphia, we spoke with Noah Cobb on Tuesday. Atlanta United has myriad injuries going into this game. The status of Jurgis Jakimakis is going to be decided on Saturday, but definitely out are going to be your starting center back pairing of Steen Gregerson and Derek Williams, as well as starting winger Jean De Silva and backup striker Jamal Tiari. So Noah Cobb is likely going to be playing beside Luis Abram. I was curious, because I couldn't remember, how much do they get to play together during the preseason?
In preseason, there were times I played next to Derek. There were times I played next to Luis. Honestly, it was probably pretty 50-50.
Okay.
All things considered. So, I mean, and even last year, like in training and that stuff, me and Luis have played together a lot. So.
And then here's Noah talking about his communication with Abram. I asked him this because one of the things that everyone has talked about with Derek Williams was how much he communicates to everyone around him.
Not good. I mean, Luis can speak English, so our communication's good. I mean, I know some words in Spanish, so we can talk, you know, so the communication and that stuff is good. And then I think we've played together enough where we have a good connection on the field. So
And here's Cobb talking about the mood in the locker room, dealing with all these injuries.
I mean, you never want anybody to be injured. And that's always like, I mean, everyone kind of realizes like when you know, when someone gets hurt, it's never good. You know, the mood can always kind of start to go down. But I think we have good depth, and I think we have good pieces. You know, with Sion's injury, I had to step in. So it's the same situation for other guys. And I think it's just like a next man up mentality. And then when the group gets to full strength, the better the depth pieces are, the better ultimately the entire group is. So I think it's just that next man up mentality.
The match on Sunday is the first of four of the next five that are going to be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It was a chance, or it is a chance, for the team to really kind of gain some points, get up into that top four, maybe build a cushion so they can stay in the top four. But now they're having to deal with all these injuries. So what is the approach?
I mean, I don't think the approach changes at all. I think, you know, when you're at home, it's always, I mean, any game we step in, it's 3 points, 3 points. And especially at home, it's, you know, 3 points, and it's definitely not good enough. So I think, especially with Philly coming up, and then, you know, that's a good team. They're, you know, near the top of the table. So I think getting 3 points against them at home is going to be really, really important.
Lastly, it seems like teammate Caleb Wiley is going to be a lock for the U.S. in the Olympics in Paris this summer. But if Noah Cobb keeps getting to play as well as he has done, I was curious if he had thought about perhaps getting a call up to the U.S. to play in Paris.
I mean, I can always hope. You know, it'd be great to be there, but you know, I've played 3 MLS games this year, so I think just focusing on what I'm doing for my club, and then, you know, if that were to happen, that would be amazing. And if it didn't happen, then, you know, I'm always going to just keep trying to work to get into a national team picture, because that's the goal of any player, is you want to play for your national team. So I think, you know, if the call comes, fantastic. If it doesn't, then cool. I'm just going to keep working and keep trying my best here. So
we spoke with Edwin Mosquera also on Tuesday. Mosquera had the assist on Thierry's goal, which tied the game against NYCFC. It, of course, started with a pass from Brad Guzan for his second assist in his long and storied career. I was curious if Edwin was as surprised as we were by the pass.
No,
I wasn't surprised. They were yelling at me from the bench to be aware. So I wasn't surprised.
And then here he is talking about how the team is going to try to get as many points as possible during this next stretch of home matches.
I think we're going to try and take away as many points as we can, because we've shown that we're really strong at home, and we showed that last season.
And with Silva being out, I wanted to know if Mosquera was comfortable playing on the left wing. He's played mostly as a right winger this season.
Actually, my whole life I played on that side, so if I play there, I'll feel very comfortable.
Spoke with Brooks Lennon today. I was curious his take on the morale of the team.
Yeah, it's good. I think we had a very positive performance against NYCFC. You know, I thought it was good to pick up our first points on the road, and, you know, we had a couple guys down in that game, and, yeah, obviously... And in every season, you're going to have certain guys go down with injuries. That's just part of the game. So you just it's just kind of the next man up mentality, and that's why you build a roster from top to bottom to make sure that the guys that are you know, now getting minutes are you know, fit and able to.
Daniel Rios is likely going to start at striker. So, and Rios has missed the past two games because of an injury. So this is the first time that Lennon has gotten to work with him in probably a month. I was curious his connection with Rios.
Yeah, it's been good. He's had a very good attitude in training, and he seems like he's back 100% healthy, which is important for him coming off an injury. So, yeah, we're looking forward to playing with him this weekend.
And then I wanted to know Lennon's opinion on the midseason rules changes.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure the ins and outs of it. All I know is it's growing the league in the best way possible. I think it's just comes down to feeding more money into each team, which in you know, grand scheme of things is a great idea for MLS, and it's gonna bring more and more talent to the league and make it one of the best leagues in the world eventually. So yeah, we're happy with the rule changes, and let's see what happens.
And then lastly, Brooks was statistically the best U.S. fullback in Major League Soccer this season. He's off to 3 assists in 6 matches this season. No other fullback has more assists than him. I was curious if he's feeling overlooked.
Definitely. I definitely feel overlooked. I thought I should have been an MLS All-Star last year. I thought I should have been in MLS Best 11. I think I should be in the national team pool. All three of those things, I am not. So I do feel overlooked at times, which is frustrating with the amount of hard work I put in. It does give me that extra motivation every single day to come out here and prove that I'm one of the best defenders in the league.
And then lastly up today was manager Gonzalo Pineda. Here's his take on Daniel Rios and how he's looked this week.
Very good.
If he's frustrated by the injuries, which kind of remind me of the 2022 season.
At any moment, injuries, especially when they are significant injuries, I think it's disappointing and frustrating. But honestly, I think that it's also a good opportunity for some other guys to come here and show in a home match that they want to compete. So, yeah, for me, it's part of football and we need to adapt.
And his favorite part of the new facility. Construction is supposed to start this summer, and parts of it are supposed to be done by next summer, with the whole thing finished by the 2026 World Cup.
I want to see that, especially that new area for the players. I think they're going to have a couple more areas to hang out, to be there, a couple recovery rooms. They're going to be really modern. They're going to have some science in
the high altitude room. Cognitive room.
Yeah, so I think when you're looking at the evolution of MLS and playing multiple games in different environments and the traveling at times being an issue, I think the more we can invest in recovering our players, especially we have a lot of internationals coming back from international, that amount of recovery tools is great. So I think that part is going to be amazing.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get into y'all's questions in the mailbag. You asked a lot of great ones. I want to thank you for that. Please remember, you can follow me on Twitter at DougRobertsonAJC or on Facebook at Atlanta United News Now. This is Southern Fried Soccer from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach. An air freshener can make your car smell like paradise. A drive to Daytona Beach will actually get you there. Beach on. Plan your trip today at DaytonaBeach.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we're back with a mailbag. Eric, who had the question of the week last week, is going to start us off this week. 3 questions. Eric always asks really interesting questions, so that's why he's always first or last. He starts off with, do you feel Path of Totality would be an amazing band name? That would be an awesome band name. He's referring to the eclipse on Monday, and the Path of Totality was the phrase. It would be like an awesome Netflix series, a cool band name, some sort of sci-fi genre type book. That would be cool. I may change my byline to Path of Totality. 2, is there any truth behind the rumor that the Arthur M. Blank National Training Center was almost named the Doug Robertson National Training Center? No. If grumpiness were a currency, I may have been also able to contribute $50 million toward the National Training Center, but it's not, so I didn't, so it won't. 3, regarding your coverage of the USSF opening on Monday. Well, it was an opening. It was a groundbreaking. Where does this rank in the pantheon of events? That's a great word, pantheon. You never thought you'd get to write about at the start of your journalism career. Feel free to drop a top 5 list of such events. Well, three of them are pretty doggone easy. A World Cup being played in Atlanta. U.S. Soccer Federation's headquarters and National Training Center being built and constructed in Atlanta. Atlanta United having a team in Major League Soccer. That would be four. What would five be? I never got to write about the Olympics, so that doesn't really count. I don't know. I'm going to hold on to five. I'll think about it for a bit. On to Chance, who frequently retweets my stuff on Twitter, and it is always appreciated. So thank you, Chance. He says, I would like to mention how glad I am that Guzan is in great form. I've always been critical of him, but it seems like you are right with your defense of him. It's clear why you, along with every United coach, has stuck with him. My opinion doesn't matter, but thank you, Chance. We've got, this is Chance continuing. We've got an undefeated Philly team coming to the bins with quite a few looming injuries. I'm optimistic for a draw, but with the setbacks, I'm doubtful for a win. With their first real test at home, what are the chances of pulling a win on Sunday? Would it be an upset, even with home field advantage? Cheers to you, Doug. I don't think it would be an upset because they are playing at home. Pineda seems confident in the depth of the team and the players that are coming in. This was, you know, Carlos Bocanegra's mission this offseason to really provide quality depth for Pineda, and I think they've done that. They were able to win at NYCFC, or not win, but get a 1-1 draw at NYCFC last week, which was a huge point, their first point on the road, their first goal on the road this season. I think a lot of it's going to depend upon Almada. He hasn't had a goal or an assist in his past three matches with Atlanta United. That's tied for the second longest stretch of regular season matches in his career with the team, in which he has not had either one. So he's due. So if he can get going, if he can work some mojo, I think the team can win, but we'll see. And if y'all are curious why I never say we talking about Atlanta United, because that's not my job as a journalist is to be objective. So when I refer to Atlanta United, I will not say we. Anybody who covers the team should not say we, in my opinion. And Chance continues, we've started watching Modern Family, and I can't believe I've avoided it for so long. It's truly one of the funniest and heartfelt shows I've seen. Love Modern Family. I'm glad that you got turned on to it, and I'm glad that you're enjoying it. On to Chris, who says, I've been enjoying your work in the pod for a long time now. Well, thank you, Chris. I've also been looking to expand my potting in ATL, UTD, MLS land. I'm on a weekly mix of Southern Fried Soccer and Extra Time. It would seem there's a good opportunity for some collaboration between the two podcasts, showing up periodically on each other's shows. Would give the SFS listeners some perspective on the league at large, and the Extra Time listeners a view into a big club from the East. It has been great for me to get league-wide perspective to appreciate the measuring stick of where our team is, and I think others may like it as well. Curious on your thoughts as you build your ATL UTD empire. Well, it's not my empire. It's the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's empire. I'm just the person they tasked with covering the team. And I love soccer, so I'm grateful that I have this job, and I'm grateful for the beat that I have. And I'm always free to be a guest on anybody else's podcast or radio show or video blog or I don't think anybody would want me on TV, but on TV. So spread the word, Chris. Scott says, does our horrible injury luck have to do with the physio program, or is it just the slog of the league? It's just the slog of the league and bad luck and injuries happen. Last year, the team had the fewest injuries. This is according to Pineda. I don't have a way to calculate it. Than in any previous season. So obviously the physios, if you want to blame them for this season, you have to give them credit for last season. No, it's just the slog of the league. Some of these have been contact injuries, which you can't prevent. Some of them have just been wear and tear on grown men's bodies from playing a lot of soccer, which I guess you can prevent, but are still going to happen. Scott continues, how does our injury rate stack up against other MLS clubs? I don't have any way to measure that. I don't think there's a website that measures that. What about clubs that play more games? Again, if there were a website that measured these kind of things, I guess in terms of games missed, that would be awesome, but I don't think there is. So there's an opportunity for somebody out there, if you're a real big stat person and want to go through and count players who are out for injuries or who simply don't play, there you go. On to Alan, who says, it seems like it's been a busy few weeks for you. It has. I hope all is well. Well, thank you, Alan. I hope all is well with you. He continues, roster rule changes were discussed this week. We know Garth doesn't place high value on under 22 slots and likes DP light players. I don't think that he doesn't place value on under 22 slots. I think they had to loan some players out to become roster compliant. It's the MLS rules that maybe he doesn't like as much as the under 22 slots. Do I think the club is more likely to go 3 DP, 3 under 22 slots, or 2 DP, 4 under 22s? I think they're just going to sign the best available players. I don't think they're going to be locked in to either one. He continues, the Training Center article was very informative. Thank you. It discussed a cognitive training room to improve vision and decision-making. How does this work? Is it like a virtual reality sim for soccer? Yeah, it would be. It would have some of that. It would just have some games, you know, where you react to certain things that you see or hear, that kind of thing. And then he continues, a few weeks ago, you mentioned a distaste for cliches. What is a sports cliche that irks you the most? There are so many. If you watching NFL or college, or basically NFL, when I hear every announcers say in this league or the best in this league, that just drives me up a wall. I'm going to invent a game. I swear to God, I'm going to do it this fall. A bingo card on announcer cliches for NFL and college football. But in this league drives me crazy. Are the best in this league? Just say they're among the best or they're a great player. But you don't have to categorize everything as being the best. And this is true across all sports. You hear it particularly with not the play-by-play guys in the Premier League, but the analysts love to talk about that's why the Premier League is the best soccer league in the world when it was just a rally, which happens in leagues all over the world. Just say it's why we enjoy soccer or why we enjoy the sport or sports, because every sports have rallies. Not everything has to be quantified. Not everything has to be marketed 24/7. It gets so old. Announce his presence with authority is one of the stupidest sounding phrases I have ever heard. I only saw it in content when I was an editor one time and I quickly killed it. It's just dumb. Those are two that drive me crazy. This isn't a cliche, but it might as well be the National Football League. Announcers don't call it that as much anymore, but you would hear that 50 times a game in the context of in the National Football League. It's just, it's so goofy, so dumb. RPO, run pass option. I think everyone knows what an RPO is now. Not a cliche, but just jargon. Anyway, those are a few. On to Jason, who says, how are you? I'm good, Jason. How are you? I was thinking Daniel, are you listening, Daniel? You're not out hunting whales. Should send Pineda some of your coffee samples. He could become the cornerstone of Doug's coffee marketing campaign. Get him a mug and snap some pics of him taking a Doug coffee sip. From the sound of it, you'd have plenty of opportunity with his game day coffee tradition. And Ricardo Montalban's voice. Start off your match with a winning tradition. Doug's game day coffee, brewed with the finest Arabica beans grown in South America, like some of our best players. Good to the last drop. I like it, Jason. I don't think Pineda would do it, but I like it. He continues, if you haven't already done so, can you go over the proposed changes to MLS salaries and how they could benefit Atlanta United? It's not really a change to MLS salaries. It's just the things we covered earlier about 3 DPs and 3 under-22s, the two not being coupled together anymore, depending upon the age and other things of the players. They would be uncoupled, so you could assign whoever you want as a DP, and you know, if they're under 22 years old, whoever you want is an under 22 signing. How they could benefit Atlanta United, I don't know if it would. It just depends on the players that Atlanta United is targeting. The team only has one under 22 with it right now on its roster, and that's Edwin Mosquera. Franco Albarra and Santiago Sosa have both been loaned out to teams in South America. Jason continues, it's exciting to see the growth of soccer in Atlanta. I love the idea of us getting an NWSL team, and we're going to come back to that in a second. But would it be better to put it in a smaller local market in the area? In Atlanta, we have the Braves, Falcons, Hawks, Atlanta United, possibly another NHL team. I'll be stunned if that happens. And a new USL team. With all the competition, would an NWSL team do better, say, in Athens, where they would be the only professional sports team in town? If you don't think the Georgia Bulldogs football team is a professional sports team, you need to rethink that. He continues, other than the Dogs, there was an ellipsis, my bad. My other thought is having an NWSL team play doubleheader with Atlanta United 2 or the new USL team being the opening act. So I only bring this up because I got several questions or comments about an NWSL team coming to Atlanta, and there has been no reporting of any NWSL team coming to Atlanta. There was a report about a possible USL team coming to Roswell. They want to build a stadium. They want to put a USL women's team as the anchor of that stadium, like 10,000 seats. They're looking for locations right now. There's nothing new as of yesterday, I asked. But not an NWSL team. Atlanta United is highly unlikely to start an NWSL team. And there are a lot of reasons, and I've written about them. I've said them on previous podcasts. There's not really a stadium for them to play that would fit. You need a stadium in which you keep most of the revenue, if not all of the revenue. And there's not one of those right now. You can't put an NWSL team playing most of its games in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The optics, in my opinion, would be awful because it would be, you know, 10 to 15,000 people, which would be great. Let's say 20,000 people, which would be a great, great crowd for NWSL, but it would look bad in a 70,000 seat stadium. So anyway, to put that in another market, I think would be a good idea. It would need to be a metro population. I don't think Athens is big enough. I don't think Savannah would be big enough. It would need to be in one of the cities that surround Atlanta. And for the trivia team I play on, I really worked hard to not use the phrase that I told y'all I was going to try to slip into a story one day when I just talked about that. Jared says, given the excitement at the tip of the spear for us, who do you think fills in if we are down to Gigi, Jamal, and Rios for any period of time? If the team is without Giakoumakis, Terry, and Rios for any period of time. Well, Rios is going to play on Sunday, unless he suffers an injury tomorrow. But he continues, do you try for Mino or Tyler up top or take a risk on a two-player? I think he'd probably put Wolf up top. But they did try Etienne up top. I don't think that would be a 90-minute thing. But they did do that in the second half of last week's draw at NYCFC. Now, Peter has a whole lot of questions, so these are our questions of the week. This is Peter Boos, a regular podcast listener and one of many Atlanta United founding members. He says, thank you for your excellent insight into your AJC articles and your podcast. Well, thank you, Peter. Before I get to my question, here is some interesting data. Through six matches this year, three at home and three on the road, Atlanta United has 10 points versus 13 points through six matches in 2023, in which four were played at home and two on the road. Looking at goals scored versus conceded for the same six matches, 10-5 this year and 13-9 last year. There was a difference in the opponents in 2024. Three teams ended above Atlanta United in the 2023 Supporter Shield standings, while the six teams the team faced in the first six games last season, only one ended above Atlanta United. And comparing the results of the first six games in 2024 with the same in 2023, things look quite positive. Against the same opponents, Columbus away, NE at home, Toronto away, Orlando at home, Chicago at home, NYCFC away, Atlanta United took 10 points so far versus six last season, while scoring the 10 goals and conceding five versus scoring 10 and conceding 15 against the same teams in 2023. The marked difference thus far is goals conceded, leading to 1.67 points per game in 2024 versus 1 point per game from these matchups in 2023. That is great stuff, Peter. Thank you. And here are his questions. Considering the comparative performances, what is your projection for the next two games when Atlanta plays against the other two teams that ended above it in the East last year, Philadelphia and Cincinnati, recognizing these teams are no longer in the Champions League tournament? With the injuries, I think getting 4 points would be a good result. I think 2 points are probably more likely. Philadelphia is a good team. They're not a fast team anymore. Atlanta United, if it can get the ball switched and get into space on the wings, it should be okay. Cincinnati, Atlanta has never been able to solve Acosta. Many teams have been able to solve Acosta, but they have not been able to solve that problem. So that one's going to be a much tougher game than Philadelphia, I think. Lastly, where do you see Atlanta United in the standings in July, just before the League's Cup break, and what do they need to succeed to make that happen? I think they'll be top four, provided that Giakoumakis comes back for the Cincinnati match, and because Gregerson should also be coming back very, very soon. So they should have most of their preseason starting 11 back. So I think they'll be top four. To make it happen, they need to get Almada going. And that's not a knock on Almada. It's just I've written in the info to know box, which we'll publish later today, he outperformed his expected goals last season by almost four. That's a lot from 11 goals. I mean, that's, you know, a third, almost a third. And I think regression is happening a little bit so far this season. So if they can get him going, I think they are more than good enough to really do some damage in the East. So they just need to score some more goals and keep that defense tight. All right, that's going to wrap up the mailbag. I want to remind you to please tell your friends about our show. Please rate us on Spotify and Apple. This is what helps us grow the podcast. Again, you can follow me on Twitter at Doug Robertson AJC or on Facebook at Atlanta United News Now. We will come back either Sunday night or Monday morning with the podcast reviewing this match against Philadelphia. Hug your loved ones. Communicate with your loved ones. Be empathetic with those people around you. Try to be aware of what they may be going through. Thanks for listening to Southern Fried Soccer from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.